Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
When we get to the text message, that is the big question at hand right now in terms of the timing of when did this search take place? Did this search take place at the time where Karen Reed asked her to look it up? Or did she look this up prior to everybody being at the scene and the frantic chaos that was going on? I know there's going to be hopefully some Cellbrite information experts coming in to testify about that. What's your take on all of that and experience that you have, and how accurate sometimes those timestamps can be?
Well, this is the issue. They basically tore one page out of a big book. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's so much more to these particular entries. As an example, in this one, this was copied, from my understanding, from what I read in the court documents per the expert, to a wall file. And that's because she opened Safari at 2:27, Googled basketball scores because she's a basketball coach, apparently, and her kids play basketball. And then also Googled just basketball scores because she's generally interested. And then that closed down when she went to bed, but the tab was never closed. So when she opened it back up and Googled in the morning, that's that timestamp that people are seeing there. But it's like, yes, but there's the rest of the story.
Yeah.
That's just a small caveat of the entirety of this report. And they haven't included that explanation. And believe me, we're going to see it from the prosecution side, and then the defense will obviously have an expert too.
So essentially, it's a timestamp of the browser opening. It's not the timestamp of the search itself.
Correct.
No. And that can be confusing if one doesn't understand that. That's going to be, I think, a big make or break moment when that comes out, and hopefully the jury can understand exactly what that means. The thing is, the defense has to know what the reality is of that, or are they relying on an expert coming in and refuting that and saying almost the opposite of what you just explained?
That's what they're relying on, meaning the defense. And all defense teams rely on it, right? In the Murdaugh case, you had the expert come in and say, no, he couldn't have shot him in this trajectory. And then you had the prosecutions, and the jury is going to have to ferret through those experts to see what makes the most sense. I think the reason that 227 search doesn't make sense and the 6:30 in the morning approximately search does make sense is because that's why she was Googling it. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's think about this. If truly there's this huge conspiracy by all these people to cover up this horrible murder that took place in the house, and then, you know, the body was drug outside and placed in the position where, by the way, Karen Reed's car would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're to believe that, then in terms of that search, why would she be laying in bed at home, Googling basketball? The defense isn't saying she isn't Googling basketball or didn't open Ozone Sports. So here in the middle of this horrible murder, that's what she's doing?
In the middle of everybody trying to get their story straight and covering it up. Let me check the scores, guys, real quick.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And then there's a lot of things too that, you know, she saw in these reports, and they are difficult to read. I'm telling you, especially if what she said is true on the stand. She said, well, wait a minute, I see you have this, but then all of this is redacted out. You know, what's the rest of this say? And when you're giving somebody just these snippets from a Cellbrite report, which is an extensive, analytical report of digital data.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody is going to know how to read that line by line, chart by chart, especially when a lot is missing. And there were some deleted texts that she's confused about. And I want to hear what the experts have to say in terms of what was really deleted and what really wasn't.
I'm curious about that because she denies deleting certain ones, other ones she doesn't. Let's take a look at some of that testimony about the deleted texts.
You indicated when you turned your phone in, the police were perfectly okay with you deleting communications with your children, correct?
Correct.
Including Allie, who's a material witness in this trial.
Objection.
So part of that is objectionable, and I'll sustain that. So
you're aware that your daughter, Allie, was a witness in this case?
At the time, I was not aware of that, no.
No, but you did know that ultimately she was going to indicate that she drove Colin home, correct? You knew that at the time.
Objection.
That's sustained.
Did you know at the time that Allie had driven Colin home, or she said she drove him home?
I had no idea she drove him home.
But you deleted all those communications with Allie, didn't you?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you delete all the communications that you had off your phone with Allie, your daughter?
Objection.
So this has already been answered, but go ahead, finish. Let's finish this loop. Did you delete them?
I deleted the conversations with my four daughters. At that time, Allie was not a witness.
Okay. All I asked you, you heard my question, did you or did you not delete your communications with Allie and Kate?
Objection.
That's been answered.
You said that there was this statement that horrified you, your words, horrified you, that Carrie Roberts made during her interview, that you were eavesdropping on, right?
I'm not sure if she made it during that interview. I'd have to look back to see when I said she told them everything in bold, because I know she had said it to me multiple times. So I'm not sure if it's when she said it in the interview or just in general, when she said, I told them everything, I told them, etc.
So when you said in that group chat, she's telling them everything, that might not even be what you're talking about.
No, it was.
And you said that horrified you, correct?
I didn't know Carrie Roberts, so yes, her statement horrified me.
Horrified you.
Yes, that was horrifying.
And in that group chat, your response to that horrifying statement was three words. I love it.
Was there a response prior to that?
You tell me, ma'am. I'm not the one under oath. You are.
Well, if you want to show me it again,
that's
I'd love to get.
Yesterday.
So... do you have it handy, Mr. Jackson?
I don't, Your Honor. I'll grab it.
What do you make of that? What do you make of the being horrified? I love it. It's a little, convoluted.
Well, the reason she was horrified, but then she loved it, is because the comment when, you know, she said Carrie is telling them everything, the comment was that, I guess Carrie believed and people in the circle believed that Karen Reed was nothing more than a glorified babysitter with benefits.
Okay.
And that's the testimony that ends up coming out when he keeps pressing her.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why she says she loves it, because she's, I guess, grateful that law enforcement is hearing how they viewed Karen Reed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. It is. There's so much in it. It takes, I don't know how long it was until we finally heard why she was horrified. So it's so fragmented, Tony.
Yeah.
You have to watch 3 hours of testimony to get the answer to it.
Yeah. Yeah. and the deleting of the phone, of the text, I guess, I mean, I guess if you're turning your phone over, you're trying to protect your kids by deleting those texts. But again, it doesn't look the greatest. The optics aren't that great on doing something like that.
Well, you know, I think it really takes understanding the circumstances here. Mm-hmm. So say I want somebody's cell phone records, but I have zero probable cause to believe they're involved in any sort of crime.
Sure.
There's no way I can write a warrant for her phone. No mm-hmm. way. So I am just hoping in her good gracious, you know, graciously, she will give me her phone.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they're not thinking that there's any sort of crime at this point.
True.
Other than a hit and run.
Yeah.
They're not thinking that anybody is going to say she's part of a huge murder plot. That was never in the thought process.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked her for her phone, which was good, and she graciously allowed them to have it. So if I'm hoping to get somebody's phone just to look at it, and they put parameters, there's actually a special place on the FBI's form where you can make parameters. You can stop and start at any time. You know, if all of a sudden you don't want me to look at it anymore, and now you want me to look mm-hmm. for it, you can write that. And if they say you can see everything but this, then you write that in your consent form.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's on that consent form that, you know, we got everything, but I let her erase the kid messages. And why wouldn't you? You don't want all your kids' business out there. I mean, my daughter texts me all the time about her dates and about, you know, who she likes, who she doesn't like.
Yeah.
You know? My kids text me about their grades and, you know, how well they played in sports, or whatever it might be. You don't want that out there.
Sure.
It's a personal communication. So it made all the sense in the world, but I think people think of it as nefarious or see the police were letting her get away with it. They had no choice.
True. And context is the biggest thing on there in the timeline. They weren't at that moment in time thinking this is some sort of cover up or anything at that moment. And so there wouldn't be the reason to push it that hard to get the warrant at that moment in time. Just so many layers to this thing. What do you anticipate here that we're going to be seeing in the coming weeks as far as expert witness testimony and then also when the defense gets out there?
Well, the expert witness testimony is going to be so crucial mm-hmm. because I think it's going to end up supporting a lot of these witnesses we've seen. And of course, Jackson and Yannetti, particularly Jackson, is very adept at, as we've seen, I can tell you the sky is gray. And by the end of the conversation, he's going to have me saying the sky is blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's he's very good at that. But these expert witnesses, that they're exactly that. They've testified hundreds of times.
Mm-hmm.
They know their material inside and out. We saw it with the UC Davis scientist. She was amazing. Mm-hmm. There was no tripping her up. So they're going to be a lot harder, I think, to cross-examine hard at all. But I think with the defense, we've already seen sort of the defense's case because the prosecution put on the defense's case first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now they're starting to put on their case. You're going to see them keep going with this third party culprit, you know, that an ATF agent, a fellow Boston police officer, and a 17-year-old kid murdered him or attempted to murder him because we know he wasn't even dead in the snow now,
mm-hmm.
right? The EMT said he wasn't dead. He had a algorithm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not algorithm, an arrhythmia.
Yeah.
And he didn't die until the hospital.
Yeah. It's quite a narrative. We'll see how well they can pitch that as this circus continues on.
Sick of the ads?
We opt to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.